Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We want you to see Nabil's amazing story. Nabil recently authored a book called He Sought Allah But Found Jesus. We must remember that as Christians, as believers, there's 1.6 billion Muslims on the face of this world, and not all Muslims are radicalized. We must remember that Jesus died for everyone, even those in the world that are enemies of the cross. And so we want to encourage you to expand and see that we need to be praying for every single soul. The goal has never changed. Heaven full, hell empty. But I believe that Nabil's story is going to touch your heart. Watch this.
Since childhood, Nabil Qureshi had been taught that Islam is a religion of peace, and he fervently believed that. But when 9/11 hit, Nabil was a freshman in college. So for the first time, he struggled to reconcile the Islam he saw on his TV screen with the Islam he'd known all his life.
It was really something I had to wrestle with, because at this point, all the talk about Islam being a religion of peace was being confronted with a very vivid visual picture of people being murdered in the name of Allah.
Since childhood, Nabil Qureshi had been a devout Muslim. He was raised in a loving family from a peaceful sect of Islam.
The slogan for the sect is love for all, hatred for none. And so growing up, I was taught to love everyone.
Nabil pursued his faith with rigor. He prayed 5 times a day and memorized the Quran in English and Arabic. He was determined to prove that Islam was the only true faith, especially to Christians.
When I challenged them on the reliability of the Bible, or when I challenged them on the deity of Christ or the crucifixion, when I challenged them on the Trinity, they would have no answer, and they'd begin a very quick retreat into the realm of faith. I just believe on faith. And I'm thinking, well, you're using the word faith the way I use the word ignorance.
Then, in his freshman year of college, he saw another side of his faith.
I have to answer for myself, what is Islam really? Is it what I've been taught? Is it what these guys are proclaiming? And of course, I was sure it was what I had been taught. It was peaceful. But then how do I explain what's happening on the TV?
He wrestled with those images and thoughts for months. Then later that year, he met David, a Christian. Like Nabil, he knew how to defend his faith through logic and reason.
David was able to give me reasons to believe in the Bible, reasons to believe that the Bible hasn't been changed, that it's the inspired word of God, that the canon of the Bible, the 66 books of the Bible, are actually what should be in the Bible, and no other book should be in that collection. He had thought about these things.
Despite the differences, Nabil and David became friends, and over the next 3 years, often debated about religion. Nabil held on to his beliefs, but was running out of arguments.
Whenever I started providing reasons to him, that's when he started pointing things out, flaws in my reasoning.
It became even clearer when he compared the Bible to the Quran and looked closely at the teachings of Muhammad.
It became abundantly clear why people could be so violent in their practice of Islam, because the original teachings of Muhammad, there were some very, very violent teachings found in the traditions of Islam. I'm trying to defend Islam, you know, to my friend who is a Christian. I'm trying to explain to him why Islam is peaceful, why women are given equal rights, all these things that I truly believe now I have to defend. And I'm failing miserably because there just was no defense.
Nabil saw the only logical conclusion was that Jesus is the Son of God. But admitting that went against everything he had ever believed in.
The biggest blasphemy in Islam is to worship anything other than Allah. If there is a chance that Islam could be false, that's a crisis. That's going to shake my world, and it did. And that's what drove me to my knees, and that's when I began to ask, God, who are you?
In the Muslim tradition, Nabil asked God to show him the truth through a dream. God gave him 3. One in particular had a profound effect.
I was standing at the threshold of a narrow door. This door was just wide enough to fit me, just tall enough to fit me. It was the most poignant symbol in the dream, was just how narrow this door was. I could barely fit in it. And on the other side of this doorway was a room that had been set with a feast. I knew that that room was heaven. And I knew that I had to get into that room if I wanted to be in heaven.
Later, he read a passage in the Bible that confirmed his dreams. Convinced of the truth, his world was shattered. Seeking comfort, he reached for the Quran.
I pull out the Quran and I start going through its pages. And it was a rude awakening that there isn't a single verse in the Quran designed to comfort a hurting man. Not one. And so I put it away, I turned the Bible, and I went to Matthew. And it didn't take long for me to get to Matthew chapter 5, and here's what it says. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And so I'm saying to God, God, I know what you want me to do, but I just need time to mourn. I just need time to mourn. I just fell in love with the Bible at that moment. It was as if God had written those words specifically for me. He knew 2,000 years ago that I was going to need comfort in this moment, and he knew that I would go to Matthew, so he put that verse in Matthew for me. And I said, okay, this is real. This is the Word of God. This faith is where the truth is found. And that's when I ultimately, by reading the Bible, accepted Christ.
Nabil started telling people about his new faith, including his parents. He says they were disappointed, but still love their son. He is praying that they will one day accept Christ.
So they can know him. So that they can be with him for eternity. So we can all be together for eternity. I can't even imagine. Honestly, I can't even imagine going to church with my family. And I would love someday for my father and my mother to be worshiping alongside me. I can't even think about it because I'll just break up.
Today, he works for world-renowned apologist Ravi Zacharias and has a book called Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. He is most grateful for the understanding of truth and the gift of eternal life.
Jesus was able to resurrect from the dead. He has killed death, and this life is all about life. It doesn't end in death. And there's nothing, nothing more freeing than that.
Nabil Qureshi. Wow, what
a powerful story. Oh, yeah. I love seeing that. It's just like someone who is just like, just so hard going after God and then coming to the reality of asking that critical question, God, who are you?
Yeah. Seeker of truth.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's so many things that happen in Nabil's story that's so important. And, you know, we have to be ones that say, okay, I am ready to make disciples, which is really, I am ready to obey what Jesus commanded me. You got to ask that question when Jesus is talking about go and make disciples of all nations. Who is Jesus talking to?
Yeah.
Is he talking to my pastor? Is he talking to this person in ministry, that person? Or is he talking to me as a Christian? What is my responsibility before Jesus? And in order for Nabil's story to happen, there had to be somebody. There was somebody there, the young man in college who actually was abiding with God, who knew God, and knew where to take him in the scriptures.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in the beginning of that story, he shares about how when he would confront other Christians.
Ask them straight up.
Yeah, questions. They didn't have any answers. They quickly defaulted to faith. And that wasn't convincing to them. You know, a person with an argument is always at the mercy of someone with an experience. You got to be able to talk about knowing him from a personal perspective, and also to know the word. We're supposed to be believers who abide in the vine, or abide in Jesus, John 15. And we should know the word of God to be able to communicate it with someone. And that's exactly what happened.
And that's so powerful because right now, I mean, when you're seeing his journey, like that's what, like, I mean, you hear us talking about the great coming move of God, the great harvest. Is that if you're telling someone that you know Christ, that you're walking, you have a relationship with God, we have to be able to dialogue. We have to be able to conversate and talk about the one who is love without getting offended. Because there's people who genuinely want to know who is God. Because there's people that talk about him, but you can genuinely see, just like what happened in the Gospels, that they said these men took note, that these men had been with Jesus. Is that when people see your life, they're asking you about Jesus. Have your word with you. Take your word to work. Take the Bible with you to school, to wherever you go, because you never know. Somebody's going to have a conversation with you, and you can, it's one thing to tell them, but when you can point someone to the letters in red and say, this is what Jesus said, and you're giving someone that credible evidence to, this is the word of God.
Yeah, and it's so important, you know, method and approach, you know, semantics. So many people just want to rattle off why they're right and maybe why they think someone's wrong. But I want to encourage you to seek Be a person that seeks to understand first rather than to be understood first. Mm-hmm. You know, seek to understand people's story and their background. I mean, he was devout. He was convinced that his way was right. And he had a dream. He asked for a dream. And I'm reminded during one of the Muslims' holiday or
Ramadan.
Ramadan, religious, the time that they fast, that many Muslims come to the saving knowledge of God, and many come through dreams.
Yeah. You know, and even as you're saying that, when you're talking about the holiday that they have in Ramadan, is we've talked about this program before, is to not get caught up in the narrative that you're hearing right now about Muslims in the Middle East. And it's just like, don't label someone just by what the world is saying. And regardless of what country they're from, the question is, how does God see them? Regardless of what the world labels someone or doesn't label them, God desires to call them son. God desires to call them daughter. Because when you look in the Bible, you can look in the book of Acts, and there's a guy named Saul who is overtly persecuting the church. Yeah.
And the thing is that not everyone in the Middle East is Muslim.
Right.
They're Arabs. Now, they may be an Arab that happens to be, you know, of the Muslim faith, or they can be an Arab who's actually the Christian faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we marginalize and say everyone is one group, we're doing a huge injustice. And the fact of the matter is that God's called us to reach everyone, not just the people we like or don't like, but even people who are presently enemies of the cross. I mean, before I knew Jesus, I was an enemy of the cross. I didn't know him. And so my life was a contradiction to the cross of Christ. And for us to think that other people, it's religious. It's not even what God, it's his heart. And so I think we need a paradigm change, a paradigm shift in our mind and our way of thinking and our attitudes in terms of what type of Christian am I? And that God's called us to be global Christians. Yeah. You heard of the term global citizen. You're a global Christian. And so your Christianity has no borders. You may live in America, but you can identify with a Christian in China. And when you see these world events happening, it's so important to separate governments from the actual people that live there. If someone from another country thought that our government was who we are, no, our government is a representative government of about 430 elected officials, but they're not an exact copy or a direct representation of the 330 million people that live in our country. So when we just say, well, China is a communist nation, well, the leadership, the government is communist.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean anything in terms of the people, because there's reportedly 130 million Christians that are in the underground church today. And so we want to be able to identify as a global Christian and with a global heart and global eyes to say, you know what, God, I want to see the kingdom of God advance and the kingdom of darkness to shrink.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.